man, here we go again. Up early, feed the dog, out the door, traffic, at the office, boss in some kind of mood today, no time for lunch, annoying coworker, no time to relax, bedtime. Then we gotta do it all again? No way. Because the best way to break up the mundane every day is to play at Wild Rose Casino and Resort. Slots, tables, sports, and a whole lot of perks when you join and play with your club wild card. So, let's play Wild Rose Casino and Resort, Clinton.
Hi, I'm Jim Street, owner of Streets Maintenance. As a licensed, insured, and bonded master plumber, I specialize in all plumbing repairs, including but not limited to water heater and sump pumps to toilet and faucet repairs and replacements. For more information about my business, I'm online at streetsmaintenance.com and Facebook, or give me a call at 400-4483.
Hello there. You have found the Hawk Fanatic Mailbag podcast here on hawkfanatic.com. It is Tuesday, March the 5th, a little before 9 a.m. Central Time. I am Rob Howe, your host, answering your Twitter questions, comments, all that fun stuff here on the podcast. We'll go probably 40 minutes or so, 45 today. We'll see how many questions we have. I did refuse some of them. I did do some show prep, so can't be accused of not preparing at all. But a lot of stuff going on, obviously. The headline was Sunday afternoon, Caitlin Clark breaking the NCAA Division I all-time scoring record, which was held by Pete Maravich, known as the Pistol. And see a lot of debates on who's better and who should be the GOAT and all that stuff. To me, it's a bunch of wasted time, because there's no way to prove who is the best player of all time. Just enjoy each of them for their own merits. Who's better, Jordan or LeBron or Larry Bird or Magic Johnson or Wilt Chamberlain or Shaq, or just go down the list of great players. Who's the greatest baseball player of all time? Willie Mays or Hank Aaron or Barry Bonds? I mean, we could sit and argue till we're blue in the face. It's funny to watch people that think they've won the argument as who's the GOAT, who's the greatest of all time, when there is no winner of an argument like that. Love sports since I can remember. It's kind of been my escape, and then turned into my profession. But as I get older, I understand some of the things that I did in relation to sports when I was younger make a lot less sense now. And arguments like that, I mean, it's fun to debate, like, who's on your Mount Rushmore of Iowa athletes all the time, and listen to other people's opinions on why they feel that way. It's another thing to watch people on social media think that they have the answers to who's the greatest player of all time. Is Caitlin Clark the greatest women's basketball player of all time? I've seen people emphatically state that, and I would say that is far from a clear debate. And she's got a lot of room to make up just to accomplish what some of the former Iowa players have done, Michelle Edwards being one of them. I encourage folks to, and one, I think one of the greatest, it's the word I'm looking for, results, or what Caitlin Clark has helped promote is the history of the game. Whether it be somebody like Pistol Pete Maravich, who people see the mark and they see the points and they figure, he's probably was a good player, but they don't know what he was like. And there's a video circulating on social media, which is it alternates Pete Maravich and Caitlin Clark plays that look similar, and their games are really similar. So if you see Caitlin Clark play, you see elements of Pistol Pete's game in her game. And that's the cool thing, that, you know, there was Michael Jordan and then Kobe Bryant emulated him. And then you see elements of their games in LeBron's games. That's the thing. There isn't, you know, very rarely at this point in stage in athletics do you see somebody who's completely unique and doing something that nobody else has ever done before. There are always elements to a player's, the great players' games that relate or mimic or emulate what prior players have done. And that's what's cool. But Caitlin bringing more attention to Lynette Woodard, and former great players in this sport, I think is great. And I think it's going to continue into the future. I apologize for the whining puppy in the background. If you're hearing that, it's he's in training right now and he's having some difficulty figuring out how to go to the bathroom outside instead of inside. But I see these, and part of it now is too with these debate shows, whether it's, the Stephen A. Smiths of the world or Skip Baylesses of the world, they have these sports debate shows that are geared towards discussions like this. Who's the greatest? Is someone getting too much attention? Is somebody a good person? They act like they have the answers to these things and they don't. They're just debate topics, right? So, have fun with it. Have fun debating who is the GOAT and who are the greatest of all time. I have a question here that I really appreciate that I'll get to in a minute, asking me who's on my Mount Rushmore of all-time Iowa women's basketball players. I've seen quite a few. My first year covering Iowa women's basketball was the 97-98 team. That team, I think tied for the Big Ten regular season title and may have won the tournament. I can't remember. I know Lisa Bluter's one of her first teams, if not her first team, won the Big Ten tournament. And obviously, people that know history know Vivian Stringer had some of the best players in the country playing at Iowa, some of the best players in the world playing at Iowa at that time because there was no WNBA. The coffee sip, but. It's cool to debate the GOAT topics and who's the greatest and who are, the Mount Rushmores and all that stuff. Have fun with it, but don't take it too seriously and don't feel like somebody has the answer because they agree with you, so to speak. I don't know who the greatest women's college player is of all time, or the women greatest women's player is of all time. It's so hard to compare errors too. When you talk about, Wilt and Kareem, and even back to like George Mikan and Bob Cousy, the game's just so different as it goes through the years. And you hope that it evolves and improves, but then you have people that are like, it was the greatest when I was 20 years old, right? And then the next generation is these guys were the greatest because they were the greatest when I was 20 years old. So numbers are a part of it, awards are a part of it. The eye test to me is the ultimate test because that's how we feel, right? Those form our opinions, what we see with our own eyes. Or they should anyway. But I don't know how I got off on that tangent. Oh, yeah. We were talking about Caitlin breaking the record on Sunday, and Iowa gets a big win against Ohio State, goes into the Big Ten tournament this week at the number two seed, number three ranked AP in the country. So good stuff there, Iowa. The other news item from Iowa women's basketball is Molly Davis went down with a scary injury on Sunday, left the game, came out for the senior day ceremony in a wheelchair. Iowa released on Monday, March the 4th, that they hope she'll be back this season. And then Lisa Bluter, I believe, had her radio show last night, and I saw this, and I apologize for not crediting whoever tweeted it. But it sounds like she's going to sit out the Big Ten tournament this week and then try to make it back for the NCAAs, which will begin. She'll have about 2.5 weeks, right, to rest before that starts. So, got some questions related to that as well. Who steps in for her that I'll get to in a minute. Men's basketball team at 10-8, 10-9, excuse me, in the Big Ten, with senior day this coming Sunday against Illinois, 6 o'clock tip at Carver Hawkeye Arena, the last regular season Big Ten game in the whole league is Iowa and Illinois on Sunday night. That's the marquee game. So Iowa just recently lost in a hard-fought game in Champaign, but showed it can play with Illinois, which was number 12 in the country last week. I'm not sure what it's ranked this week, but I believe Illinois plays Purdue tonight. Maybe senior day at Champaign. I'm not sure. I don't have that pulled up in front of me, but obviously, be interesting to see how Illinois does and if Illinois has something to play for on Sunday other than trying to kick the ass of one of its rivals in Iowa. The Hawkeyes, I'll pull up the net rankings quickly here. Net rankings 2024 to see where the men were. Last I checked, I think was Sunday after the Northwestern game, and they were 57. Iowa is now 56. They are three spots behind Northwestern. Drake is 48, which is interesting, but Iowa is now 56. So if you consider that 68 teams make the field and there are auto bids, so reducing the pool of at-large teams, Iowa is firmly on the bubble. I think a win Sunday against Illinois is not a must win, but if they don't win that, they'll likely get another shot at Illinois on Friday in the Big Ten tournament of next week, and they'd probably have to win that. I think they have to get to 20 wins and 11 wins in the conference somehow. And even then, I think probably having to win so that they're, if you look at Iowa's record right now, it's 18-12. They have three quad one wins at this time and five quad two wins. So 8-11 against quad one and quad two, 3-8 against quad one. So you just don't know who you're going to be competing against for those last spots. And what their resumes are going to look like. So at this point, rather than twisting your brain trying to figure out what the path is, you just win. And then, you know, if Iowa can win Sunday, get a win in the Big Ten tournament, get to 20 wins, would be at that point 12-9 in the league, including the tournament game, probably in. Because Illinois is pretty high in the net rankings, I think. Let me see if I can find Illinois here real quick. Iowa State is eighth. Illinois is 15th. So that would be a really excellent resume builder if they can get that. I think I don't think I'm breaking any news there. Wrestling seeds came out. The wrestling, Big Ten wrestling is this Saturday and Sunday at the Xfinity Center in Washington, D.C. And those seeds came out yesterday. Let's see if I can pull those up. Where are they? No, here we go. Iowa seeds. Ayala is 2. Teske is 14. Real Woods is 3. Caleb Rathjen is 3. Jared Franek is 4. Michael Caliendo is 3. Patrick Kennedy is 3. Aiden Riggins is 13. Zach Glazer is 3. And Brady Hall is 7. So we'll see, you know, if Bradley Hill wrestles. Keeter, I would think, would get in the lineup as, you know, but I don't know what the plan is at the Big Tens. We haven't had a press conference this week with Tom and the guys, so stay tuned on that. But those are your pre-seeds for the Big Ten Championship. Again, Ayala is a 2. Real Woods is a 3. Caleb Rathjen is a 3. Caliendo is a 3. Patrick Kennedy is a 3. And Zach Glazer is a 3. Those are Iowa's highest seeds heading into Sunday. Tournament is set to take place. I guess the Xfinity Center is the one on the campus there in Maryland. So I was thinking it was in DC, but it is in College Park. Safe travels to everybody headed out that way. And that's about it. Iowa baseball loses 2 of 3 at Ole Miss this past weekend. So really tough schedule. What you hope for is this is preparing Iowa to do really well in the Big Ten help its net rankings or RPI or whatever they use in college baseball. But yeah, Iowa eventually is going to have to start winning some of these marquee non-conference games, or otherwise it's going to put itself in position where it's going to have to do very, very well in the Big Ten, which it's probably going to need to do anyway. But let's hop into your questions at this point. Apologize for the delay there. Got a little bit on my soapbox for let's see here. HF mail, bring that up. I'm not very organized this morning, folks. I apologize for that. Let me make sure I'm recording. Yeah, I am. That's good. It's always good. Good to know that I'm recording. Let's see here. Let's see. Looks like Trip Manfro at PFAC51 was the first one in this week. And he says, can the Iowa men's basketball team lose this Sunday? As we previously mentioned, that's against Illinois. Excuse me, here at Carver Hawkeye Arena. And still host the first round of an NIT game. There are moving pieces on this trip. They could, but you also have to remember that the women are going to host. And whenever they want the Iowa men's team to play could conflict with that. When I say about the, if they make it to the NIT, if they don't make it to the big dance. So I did pull up, here's kind of the cliff notes of the new NIT format. The NIT for each of the 6 major conferences, ACC, Big East, Big Ten, Big 12, Pac-12, Southeastern, the top 2 teams in the net rankings not qualifying for the NCAA tournament from each of those 6 conferences, so 12 teams, regardless of win-loss record, will be selected. So those are the top 2 teams in the net, and Iowa would be that right now, most likely, and get the automatic bid. So then on top of that, 12 teams automatically selected will be guaranteed an opportunity to host a first-round game. Again, if there's a conflict in the arena with another event, in this case being the Iowa women's basketball team's NCAA tournament, then that could force the Iowa men's team's hand. Once the 12 automatic qualifying schools have been selected, the NIT will select the 20 best teams available to complete the 32-team field. Based on NIT committee's evaluation, the best 4 teams of the 20 at-large teams selected will compete in the 16 first round. The top 4 of that 20 will also host. And that's based on the first 4 teams out, based on the NCAA selection committee. If you know, after the brackets released, they tell you the first four teams that missed, those 4 teams would host. So there's a lot of, it's pretty vague at this point, Trip, and they still have to figure it out. But certainly there could be a situation where they are in position to host, but don't host because of a conflict in the arena. So I hope that answers your question. But yes, they could lose on Sunday and still host the first round NIT game if they're one of the top 2 teams. Where was I? All right. So basically, yeah, to answer Tripp's question, Iowa could still lose on Sunday and host. I think if Iowa were to lose Sunday, win the first game of the Big Ten tournament, and then lose the second game of the Big Ten tournament, probably 2 losses to Illinois, I think Iowa would still be in the net rankings among the top two Big Ten teams that don't make the NCAA tournament, thus giving it a chance to host. But again, you have to consider the potential conflict of the women's tournament being at home. And I know the NIT can be played on different days earlier in that week, but it's not a given. These are going to be TV games, and they're going to try to spread them out so they can get as many of them on as possible, especially on the weekend. So we'll see what happens. It's to be determined, I think, and we'll see if it's determined. Let's see. We've got E at NBA underscore fan underscore 2014. How many games do you think Molly Davis will miss? Talked about this a little bit earlier. I think she'll sit out, according to Lisa, most likely sit out the Big Ten tournament this week and then try to make it back for the NCAA tournament. So however many games they play this week will be how many she misses if she does in fact miss the Big Ten tournament. So while the men's or women's team go deeper in March Madness, I'm going to say the women because the men are still not in yet, and the women are. So just getting in would be farther than not. I still like the men's chances of winning Sunday and putting itself in position to get into the tournament. But I think this year, when you have a team that's ranked third in the country, you would hope that they would go farther in March Madness than a team that is unranked and fighting and clawing its way to get in during what is essentially a rebuilding year for Iowa men's basketball. And then why do you think Iowa isn't participating in the 25 men's March Madness tourney tickets the Big Ten is promoting? I'm going to admit I haven't seen this. I did a Google search for this morning, $25 men's March Madness tickets for Big Ten, and nothing popped up. So if you want to send me a link to that, which is good when you guys ask questions like this, because I don't mind researching, but there's times where I don't find it. Like in this situation, I didn't search Twitter. I just Googled it to see if it came up on the Big Ten, and I didn't see anything. Certainly could have missed it, and it may not have come up on the search, but did not see that. If they are promoting $25 March Madness tourney student tickets for the Big Ten, I don't know why I wouldn't participate in something like that, other than they don't know which teams are going to get in yet. But again, I could not find anything referencing that in on Google, but I may have missed it. If you want to shoot me a link later, I'll try to run that down. Probably a good time to take a break. I need one. This has not been the smoothest podcast this morning. Apologize for that. I'm going to try to fix this in editing, so you may not even know what I'm talking about if I'm able to correctly edit this stuff out. But want to let folks know that support for the podcast comes from Systems Unlimited, celebrating 50 years of providing services to people living with disabilities and mental health needs throughout East Central Iowa. A list of their services and upcoming events can be found at sui.org. That is sui.org. Thank you so much to Systems Unlimited for the great work they're doing in the community for over half a century. And we certainly appreciate them supporting our podcast here. We're going to hear from a few more sponsors now, and I'll be back on the other side with some more of your questions. Hang in there.
Hi, this is AJ Perez, managing partner at Deary Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram of Waukee and Iowa City. I'm so proud of our team at both locations. We are committed to one thing, giving our customers the absolute best when it comes to service and a car buying experience, the kind of experience that brings you back. What makes us different? We believe at Deary, we don't just sell cars, we help people buy them.
Do you need a great electrical contractor or fire and water restoration specialist? Well, contact Lance Bolin at LB Electric and LJ Construction in North Liberty. Lance has served the corridor for many years and is ready to help you. Call Lance Bolin at 319-640-1116. That's 319-640-1116. Or visit LJ underscore construction on Instagram for licensed and insured electrical work, fire and water restoration, and remodeling.
Switching is easy. We do it all the time. We switch on the lights. We switch TV channels. Some of us switch partners while square dancing. Well, that's a stretch. But what's not a stretch is how you can switch and save with State Farm. In fact, State Farm agent Chad Birch, right here in Iowa, can switch you over so you can start saving today. Chad and his team are ready to welcome you to the State Farm neighborhood. With Chad Birch, it's easy to switch and save. Just give him a call. When you want the real deal, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Hop back into some of your questions here. Let me get back to my Twitter engine. The rest of these, I think, are underneath. Hungry Hungry Hawkeye asks, where's Cade in his recovery? And that would be Cade McNamara, Iowa QB1. Iowa sent out some workout video, the official Iowa football Twitter X feeds and social media. I'm sure it was on Instagram and other outlets that I'm not on as frequently, but it showed Cade throwing some footballs and wearing a jersey and all that good stuff. Luke Lachey was shown pushing a sled. So I would say recovery is going well. In terms of ACL injuries, which is what Cade suffered, it's usually, I think I read some medical information on that that was posted online at official medical websites that it's about a 9-month average recovery time for an ACL, give or take. Could be a little sooner, could be a little longer, depending on the tear, the person in recovery. This happened to Cade in early October. I believe he had his repair. So if you look at it that way, 9 months would take him out to around June. He's back at least throwing the ball now in practice, workouts, winter workouts. So that's good to see. And hopefully that means maybe he's on the lesser side of 9 months. I'd be surprised if he did anything during the spring other than just lightly doing what he's doing now, which is throwing to receivers and getting timing down and just working on mechanics and the new offense, obviously, trying to get acclimated with that as much as he can while on the field and working in the film room. I think spring ball starts here in about, what's today, March 5th, probably three-ish weeks, roughly 2 to 3 weeks. And we'll probably get an update on the guys recovering from injuries last season. I named two of the key ones in Cade McNamara and tight end Luke Lachey. Get an update on them. So moving forward, what you got to hope for and what I think is the ideal timeline is to make sure he's full strength, ready to go when you open August camp. And he can do some 7-on-7 stuff this summer if he's, you know, feeling better. But there's really no need for him to take a hit at all before the season, to be honest with you. I know, you know, old school football people say you got to take hits. You got to take hits to get yourself ready for it. He's taken enough hits. Just keep him bubble wrapped till the season starts. And hopefully the offensive line is good enough to protect him throughout the season where he's able to play a full season, because it's going to be vital to Iowa's success this year to keep him healthy. Coffee sip. All right. Appreciate that question as well. Let's get back in here. I'm moving around trying to do research as I'm answering your questions. Hawkeye Nick at Hawkeye Nick on Twitter has gripes about another website that I work for, the message boards on said website. If you see me on Twitter, you know what outlets I'm an independent contractor. I don't have a full-time job, so to speak. I work for different websites, Hawkeye related, high school related. So if you got a beef, Nick, with who's running the message boards, contact the people that run that website. I work for that website. I post things and write things and take photos and all that stuff. I am not an owner. I am not a manager. I am a independent contractor. So I've seen you ask the question before, and had other questions to get to and didn't get to your question. But hopefully that clears things up for you. If you are listening to the podcast, message the people that are in charge of that website. I am not in charge. Jim, well, actually, let's go to Emily here. Emily Castillo Utero had a good conversation on Twitter the other night with, maybe it was Sunday, with Emily, talking about Caitlin's impact on the history of the game and what she's doing for his, you know, players throughout history who have been really good but not gotten the attention that she's getting and never will. But Lynette Woodard is one of them, and her being at Carver Hawkeye Arena on Sunday, to me, her and Maya Moore were the coolest guests, celebrity guests, if you will, that were there, with all due respect to Nolan Ryan and Jake from State Farm and Travis Scott, who I don't know who what he sings, but I know my kids know who he is and wanted me to get a selfie with him. I didn't do that, so I apologize for everybody that was waiting for the Rob Howe, Travis Scott selfie. Emily says, is it just me or is Josh Dix a player you don't normally see at Iowa? He can create his own shot, elite mid-range game, and can defend on the perimeter. Any comps you can think of? I think the best comp for me, Emily, is another native Iowan who played at Carroll and who lives in the area and whose daughter is on the Solon girls basketball team. And that's Adam Haluska, who was a really good athlete, very good track athlete, very good player here, all Big Ten. But he was a very well-rounded two-way guard. And Josh reminds me of him quite a bit. Maybe Kevin Gamble. Those are kind of the two guys that pop into my mind. I'm not really good at comps, so I apologize if people are rolling their eyes there and have better comps. Certainly send them our way under the thread for this podcast. But brings to mind Haluska, but he's just been – I tweeted this out the other day watching him Saturday. It's – they're you know, as again, my first season covering Iowa was 97-98 for basketball, 97 for football. And there haven't been a lot of guys that make that type of a jump from freshman to sophomore year that Josh has made. It's just remarkable. He is, you can see his confidence grow as he accomplishes more, and that's what you want. And he's just been super fun to watch. And, you know, good two-way player, can defend. The mid-range game is a lost art, and I like to see more of it because it's available to players a lot more now. But you watch, and some players are just so uncomfortable in that mid-range. You watch, if they're not behind the line or right under the basket, that everywhere else they just look uncomfortable operating. He is not uncomfortable anywhere on the court. If he's open, and has a shot and has the best shot available for his team, most times he's going to take it and make it. And coffee sip, need a lot of coffee sips this morning. But super fun to watch. He's been kind of a revelation. You think about this team and what it's accomplished this year, getting to at least a 500 record in the Big Ten after starting 0-3. One of Fran's best coaching jobs. We'll see how it finishes up. But just blending, you know, the returners with guys who have bigger roles, with guys that have never been in the program, as disconnected as this team looked in December against Iowa State and some other opponents, to where it is now, the connectivity and the fight and the competitiveness and just playing smooth basketball that is the kind of the hallmark of Fran McCaffrey teams is connectivity. This team has it. And I was saying in December, I'm going to give it time because there were so many moving parts and new pieces. And it's just been great to watch. If this team doesn't make the NCAA tournament, that would be a bummer, as hard as it's worked to get itself back onto the bubble. But it's hard. It's hard to make the tournament. You know, there are different statistics out there of you know, which programs have the longest NCAA tournament runs in the Big Ten. And I think I was right up there with four in a row. So making it to five would be great. And let's keep hope alive here that it does make that run, whether, you know, wins Sunday and then at least another game in the Big Ten tournament to get him in, or wins Sunday and wins at least two games in the Big Ten tournament and locks itself in, or loses Sunday but then gets two or three wins in the Big Ten tournament. A lot of avenues here for Fran McCaffrey and his team to make it to the tournament. And I think it'd be a fun team and a dangerous team that other teams would not want to play. And I've always wondered if the Sweet 16 drought would be ended by a team like we saw that lost to Oregon in the NCAA tournament, a team that played really well, you know, or the team that lost to Richmond and was highly regarded and lost, won the Big Ten tournament, or if it be a team like this, just kind of a scrapping team that gets in, gets hot at the right time, gets, you know, receives matchups that are favorable and wins and gets into that Sweet 16. Cause there's some luck involved too, right? And timing and things like that. So let's see what happens. I feel good about this team. It's been really entertaining to watch. Hopefully you guys have enjoyed it as much as me watching a team grow and come together. You don't always get that element. A lot of times there are teams trying to reach the expectations, preseason expectations, and we've seen that with the women, and credit the women for living up to that. They finished the regular season ranked third in the AP poll. You know, they were top five coming into the season. They're top five after the season. That means they reached their potential, right? Maybe not that, but matched expectations. And that's, as we've seen around here plenty of times, it's not easy to do. All right, last one here from Hungry Hungry Hawkeye. Nope, he asked me about Cade. This is from Jim Mitchell at Jimmy_319. And he asks, who is on your Iowa women's basketball Mount Rushmore? This was my favorite question. No offense to anybody else. You all asked tremendous questions, but this one is what I opened up talking about, right? The debate, the discussion. And that's cool to have those. But it's not cool to be nasty about it and act like there are definitive answers to these things. That's kind of what sets me off. But anyway, for me, it starts with Caitlin. Just her accomplishments, what she's done, two-time National Player of the Year, because she'll win it this year. And I think you put Megan in there as well. Megan Gustafson, who held the record for a short time before Caitlin came along and broke it. But those two are on there for me. I think Michelle Edwards is the original GOAT for Iowa women's basketball. If, for those that don't know, she played here from 84 to 88. She is a member of the Women's Basketball Hall of Fame. That happened for her in 2014. Let's see here. In 88, she was named the Champion Products National Player of the Year. She Kodak All-American, Naismith All-American, Big Ten Player of the Year, University of Iowa Athlete of the Year, 29-2, 17-1 in the Big Ten, and a number one ranking, the first time that's ever happened for Iowa. She's a member of the Iowa Athletics Hall of Fame, played on the National Olympic Festival in 1985, member of the U.S. Select Team in 86. And she was one of the original members of the WNBA. She was older at that time. Like, the WNBA wasn't there, obviously, when she came out of college. So she played professionally overseas, but she was in the inaugural WNBA class in 1997. And she played 5 years in the league. It's a shame that she and Lynette Woodard and some of those great players from the 70s and 80s didn't have a U.S. pro league. But they built the foundation. They're part of the foundation for that. So Michelle Edwards, Megan Gustafson, Caitlin Clark. And then I think the debate begins there. Those three to me are no-brainers, for me anyway. I know others have, again, these are fun debates. They shouldn't be arguments or I'm right and you're wrong. But if you look at, I'm going off of what I've watched for the last however many years it is, going on 30 years. For me, outside of what Caitlin's done, and to agree what Megan has done, Tangela Smith was the most. She was the Big Ten Player of the Year her senior year, and won at least one WNBA championship. Really good WNBA career. She came around at the right time when the league was just starting. But she had she made All Star teams in the WNBA. Really good player, and she would be my fourth. But you know, you look at who have been, and again, consensus All-American to me is also isn't definitive, because sometimes that's timing. There's context, perspective, but the consensus All-Americans in Iowa women's basketball history have been Michelle Edwards, Toni Foster, Franthea Price, Sam Logic, Megan, Caitlin, and Kathleen Doyle. So that's what, 3-7. Tangela is not one of them. So I can certainly see people saying, well, she wasn't a consensus All-American. Again, context. I don't remember who was the consensus All-American, who the consensus All-Americans were back then. But it is, for me, it's just based on my Mount Rushmore and what Tangela Smith accomplished and what I saw her do with my own eyes. Would have her there, but certainly the other players I mentioned, Foster, Toni Foster, Franthea Price, Sam Logic, Kathleen Doyle, all great, great players in their own right. And certainly I could see people making a case for them being on their Mount Rushmore, and I wouldn't have a problem with it. I would just say I have a different opinion. But other players, Shonda Berry, Jolette Law, Stephanie Schuler. I don't want the original is Sydney Hogjorn, who played in the 70s. I did a Where Are They Now on her way back when I was at the Press Citizen. She held the scoring record until Allie Disterhoff broke it, whatever that was, within the last 10 years. And then Megan broke Allie's record. And then obviously Caitlin set the all-time record. But Allie Disterhoff's another one who's just had a tremendous career. But you look at Monica Sinano, great player, Crystal Smith, Christy Smith, Kasheen Alexander, Lindsay Meter, and Jenny Lillis, who is now Jenny Baranchek, who's the head coach at Oklahoma, Kara Consuegra, Amy Herrig, Randy Peterson, who's now Randy Peterson Henderson, and coaches down in the St. Louis area. Her husband is Duez Henderson, who played at Iowa, Nicole Tunsil. Just a lot of really great history for Iowa women's basketball. And hopefully people recognize, right? And people go back and research a little bit. And I'm going to try to do some of these maybe in the off season, maybe podcasts, maybe turn them into stories with some of the greats in Iowa women's basketball history. I think telling some of their stories would be entertaining and also deserved. So stay tuned for that. I haven't figured out how exactly I'm going to attack that, but I will try to attack that the best way I can and the most thorough way I can, and whatever I can do to highlight what the greats of the past have done. So make sure I don't have any more. I don't think I have any more in the queue, guys. So that's going to wrap it up. We went about 45 minutes, which is great. Really appreciate everybody's questions today. Appreciate our sponsors. Sorry for the wonkiness of the dogs in the background there. I didn't think that was going to happen during the podcast. I thought I had a runway there, but I did not. But hopefully I can edit some of that out and you'll be like, what the hell is he talking about, dogs? But I'm sure you'll hear some of them in the background during this podcast. But thank you for listening. Thank you for sticking with me. Thank you to our sponsors. Thank you to everybody who asked questions. Scott Docterman and I will be live streaming our Hawkeye Hotspot podcast on Thursday at 9 a.m. That's Thursday, March the 7th. So come back and join us for that. Until then, enjoy the next couple days, and we'll talk to you soon. Peace.